Please sit down. First, I have to say what a huge joy it is to be here and to see so many old friends and to be given such a lovely, warm welcome. So thank you all very much, and it's great to be here. Now, we're in the middle of the holiday season, aren't we? In fact, I just got back last night. It was a little bit nail-biting, but I got back, I'm glad to say. Who's been on holiday? Lots of people have been on holiday. Who's going on holiday? Quite a few more. Quite a few more. Now, you don't have to answer this question. Just think about it. Where do you go on holiday? So, let me guess. By the sea. How many go by the sea? Lots. Or maybe a lake or a river. Lakes or rivers, anyone? No takers. Oh, yes, one or two. Yep. So what draws us to water, I wonder? Is it the scenery? Is it the sparkling of the water, the sunshine glancing off the waves? The light lifts our spirits, and we feel restored. Now, I was very fortunate. I spent my childhood by the sea, and there were mountains too. I lived in Snowdonia, lucky me. I miss the mountains, but most of all, I miss the sea. And maybe one day, I will go home. And this morning, I want us to think about water. We enjoy watery places for their beauty and for recreation. But water is more than looking lovely or having fun. We need water for cooking. And above all, we need water for life. Without drinking water, we'd last a little more than 3 days. In baptism, water is for us a symbol of the grace of God. It's a symbol of the cleansing, the refreshing, and the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit. And I will come back to that. Just bear in mind, cleansing, refreshing, life-giving. Now, from the Gospels, we learn that Jesus spent a lot of time on or close to Lake Galilee. So I want you to think now, how was the lake important to Jesus, do you think? Let's see if you've got any ideas. Why was the lake important to Jesus? Any ideas? Sorry? You'll have to shout because I'm a bit deaf. Fish? Food? Definitely. Definitely fish. Most archaeological studies have shown that the majority of the people in Palestine lived on a diet which was something like 90% bread and olives. That's all. So those who lived around Lake Galilee had the huge added benefit of fish. So there was it would have been a place for food. Anything else? Sorry? Tranquility, that's a good one. I think it would have been a place of solace, a place of refuge for him, and I'll come back to that. Transport. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that one. Yes, transport, getting backwards and forwards. Have you noticed? Jesus was always crossing the lake. So the lake was a way of getting backwards and forwards. Travel across country might have been a lot more difficult. So we've got transport, we've got food, we've got refuge, and of course it was a source of fresh water for drinking as well and washing, as we've already suggested. So the last one I'm going to suggest to you is that it was also a place of danger, as we heard about in our gospel reading. So the lake was significant in a variety of ways. Now, let's have a quick look at the Gospel Now, Jesus has had some devastating news. He has learned that his cousin John has been, John the Baptist, has been executed by Herod. And Jesus needs some space. So in verse 13, we hear, when Jesus heard what had happened to John, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. But the plan went wrong. Verse 14, hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, his heart must have sank, but he also had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. I don't know if any of you saw any of the, there were a couple of programs recently about Princess Diana. They were very moving, and I found desperately moving. But one thing that struck me about the one that was made by the princes, and I was shocked by the way she was hounded. She was ambushed, stalked, really, by swarms of press photographers. I'm sure, to some extent, it was her own fault, but nevertheless, it was awful. One shot showed the somebody, one of them, trying to force his way onto a lift with her and her two boys. So the pressure on Jesus must have been huge from those crowds. They were hungry for him. They were hungry for his teaching, for his healing. And they dogged his every footstep. And so despite his personal grief for his cousin, Jesus takes pity on them, and he heals their sick, and before nightfall, he gives them food. He provides them with food. So you can imagine that by now, Jesus is utterly exhausted, and he desperately needs some solitude, some time to be alone with God. I'll just read verses 22 and 23. So after he's fed the men, the women, and the children, we're told, 5,000 men and countless women and children. He makes the disciples get into. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up onto a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, there he was alone. But meanwhile, back on the lake, the wind had got up. The boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Then, sometime between, so we've got a storm coming up. I gather that the winds can come up very quickly and unexpectedly on Lake Galilee. But sometimes between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus went out towards the boat, walking on the lake. Well, not unnaturally, the disciples were absolutely terrified. It's a ghost! They cry out in fear. Now, I don't know whether anybody will admit it, but has anyone here seen a ghost? You have, right, okay, we have. I'll ask you afterwards about it. Sorry. I haven't, but I know a number of very sane and rational people who have seen or heard things, appearances, which seem to be beyond explanation, and that they are able to describe in some detail. I won't go into the ones that I've been. If anybody wants to know, I'll tell you afterwards. The one thing that everyone has said to me, the one thing in common, is that there was no threat. Was that your experience? No threat? Or did you feel some threat? No. No threat. People think of ghosts as being scary, but everyone I've spoken to who's experienced some sort of apparition has said they felt no threat. However, the disciples were afraid. But of course, on this occasion, it was no ghost. Hang on. Jesus immediately cried out to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And of course, Peter, impetuous as ever, wants a piece of the action. Where we are? "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Hang on, I've lost my place. "Come," Jesus says. And then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But then, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Peter is drowning. Water is dangerous. But Peter does call out to Jesus in his panic. Now, I might have told you this story before, so forgive me if I have. But some years ago, I was in the Lebanon with a group of clergy, and we visited Byblos, which is a very pretty, we get the word Bible from it, from the name, and it's a very pretty little port. The weather on the previous day had been stormy, but now the wind had dropped, and in the